Good morning, friends. Wednesday, after fall break. Sometimes it takes us a while to get back into the swing. And glad that you're here. There may be more people coming. I hope so, because Micah Hurst, who is teaching today and also at the lunch conversation tomorrow, has a lot of energy and presence and good stuff to teach, and looking forward to engaging with him. We're continuing the series, Many Parts, One Body. And the focus today about spiritual gifts, and also at the lunch conversation. How do you know your spiritual gifts and why you have them? We're going to hear from Pastor Micah Hurst exploring spiritual gifts in light of sharing God's love in the world and with the world. The lunch tomorrow is free for everyone who wants to come. If you don't have a meal plan, then Campus Ministries will cover the cost of the meal. You can also pack your lunch and bring it to the West Dining Room from noon to 1. Today, we're engaging with about spiritual gifts, and the emphasis comes from a variety of places, but primarily Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, the theme passages for this series. Micah serves as pastor of youth and young adult ministries at Weaver's Mennonite Church right here in Harrisonburg. His previous roles at EMU include serving as the resident director at Cedarwood for a number of years. How many, Micah? 5 years. And also as a seminary student, and while studying in the seminary, Micah engaged with an internship with Lana and I in Campus Ministries just a few years ago, and we've enjoyed continuing our ministry partnership ever since. Right after our songs from Joseph, Caleb, and Perry, Micah, come to the stage.
Please turn with us first in the Green Book to number 54, Longing for Light. We'll do verses 1, 2, and 5, and let's stand.
Turn also to number 349 in the blue hymnal, number 349.
Spirit of the living God. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, yes, chords. Well, there's not a lot of you here today, so what I'm going to encourage you to do before I start is get up and come to the front. Because this is a big place and there's not a lot of you, so come on forward. And as you're coming, I want to tell you a story a little bit about technology and some of my fears around technology. So here you saw me almost trip over a cord. I have struggles with technology when I speak places. I was in this little church in Tasmania, Australia, and I was working for a camp, and I went there to recruit. And when I got there, I had it worked out with my partner, who was also from camp, that halfway through, she was going to give me a call. And I made this big scene about, oh, I always forget to turn off my phone, and I actually turned it on, and I set it on the podium. And halfway through, I had a line lined up that I was going to say that line. She was going to give me a call, and I'd been talking about how God calls us, and we needed to answer the call. I thought, oh, this is going to be great. And I get to that line, I say that line, and nothing happens. So I talk a little bit, I dribble a little bit more, I come back, I say that line a second time, nothing happens. I stop, and I look directly at her, and I say a line for the third time. She's like, there's no cell service! So I had to explain to everybody, and everybody had a good laugh, and we moved on, and I'm sure they've never forgotten me there as a speaker. They probably can't remember anything of what I've done, but they remember the technology didn't work. So let's start off with prayer, and then we'll get into stuff. So God, we want to come to you this morning wanting to learn more about you, wanting to be shaped more in your likeness. And right now, we ask that all distractions be moved out of the way. Open us up to hear your spirit, not necessarily my words, but your words, your spirit speaking into our lives. And may technology and everything else work, and may we be able to encounter your spirit this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So this morning, I get the privilege of talking to you guys about spiritual gifts, and I got real excited about that because I find that most of the time we don't hear a lot about spiritual gifts, or we don't have a lot of good teaching about it. Actually, I find that when I've taught with young people, and I've taught with young people all over the place, recently I've been working a lot at Camp Hebron up in Pennsylvania, where I'm the staff pastor. And I get to train them and work with them, and actually, there's a couple of you here from there, so you're going to hear some of the things that I've said before there. But it's something that I've found that often people don't have a lot of understanding, not only around spiritual gifts, but around the Spirit. So I'm very glad to be teaching around this. And this is stuff that I heard, and actually when I was growing up, I didn't hear any really great teaching about the Spirit until I was in my mid-20s. And I didn't really understand anything to do with spiritual gifts until about that same time. And a guy named Tim Dyer, who lives in Tasmania, Australia, you'll probably never meet him or hear any of his stuff, but he's a fantastic teacher. And some of the material that I'm going to be sharing with you today, he developed, and then I've been working on, with his permission, for the last 8 years, and sharing it and teaching it in different ways, and hopefully it's something that you guys can connect with as well. Part of the reason why I'm excited about teaching about the Spirit is I think we as the church often change the Trinity because we're sort of afraid of the Spirit. So we talk about God the Father, or God the Creator, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Scriptures. And we make this shift because I think we're uncomfortable with the Spirit. And we deify Scripture. Now, I don't want to lessen what Scripture is, but I think it's important that we remember that the written Scriptures, or the written Word of God, always points to the living Word of God. And we don't worship the book, but we point to the one that the book points to. And we worship the living Word, who is Jesus. But we often, in making that the Trinity, we can get rid of the Spirit because we're uncomfortable with the Spirit. We don't know how to control the Spirit or understand the Spirit. And it's just easier if we get the Spirit out of the way. So I want to do some teaching, and hopefully it connects with you a little bit on that. So I want to use a chart. Actually, I'm going to use two charts. And I'm hopefully going to use actually three chapters. Because Paul does this great rant on spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And we're not going to sit and read through the whole thing, but we are going to be fairly text heavy. What I encourage you to do sometime is sit down and read those three chapters together. And you guys all know 1 Corinthians 13, right? What's 1 Corinthians 13 all about? love. It's the love passage. It's one of the most known passages. And it's interesting that Paul sets it right in the middle of a 3-chapter-long rant on spiritual gifts. So everything we're going to be dealing with is dealing with that. Spiritual gifts with love right in the center of it. So if you're getting confused at any point, just remember that the spiritual gifts are surrounding this conversation around love. And I want to use a chart that helps to explain sort of where this sits. And I'm not a very good artist, so you have to sort of just live with me. But this line represents all of human history, from our start to whenever it ends. And at our end, whatever that will be, is often we talk about when Christ comes a second time. Now, whether time actually stops there or just transitions to something else, we're not sure, but it's Scripture makes it clear it's when Jesus comes a second time, there will be some sort of shift. There will be something different. So that's sort of the end of human history in a way. But it starts with Jesus coming a first time, and God, who was somewhat distant in some ways, comes much closer and enters into our story. And it talks about that Jesus started the kingdom of God, or said that the kingdom of God came close. So that God's kingdom and our kingdom are somewhat similar, but there's this period of time that we're living in where God's kingdom isn't fully recognized here in our world. So it's kind of like this chart here where we've got the kingdom of God happening and the kingdom of us still happening, and we're in this in-between period, this box up here. Now, you often will hear people talk about in the last days or in the end times. Well, those end times or those last days are everything from when Jesus first came to when Jesus comes again. So if you're reading the scriptures and you hear something about the end times, we've been in them for the last 2,000 years, and that's this. Now, I show you this because what are spiritual gifts for? How do they work? Well, God is constantly trying to bring God's kingdom, God's healing, God's love, God's guidance to us as people. But we are still in this time where we don't fully recognize God's kingdom. And God is constantly breaking into our kingdom from the kingdom of God, and it's empowering us. So the spiritual gifts are God's kingdom breaking in or in breaking into our world. So I want to sort of frame our conversation about spiritual gifts as this is God's kingdom that is close, breaking into our kingdom, bringing about healing, wholeness, guidance, and it's God's power working through us. Do you have a Bible with you? If you do, grab it out. And I want to go to 1 Corinthians 13 with you guys. Yeah, and that's the wrong marker. So I want to start off, and we're going to read parts of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. But we're going to jump around a little bit. But if you do, grab out your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians 12. And I want to start off with a little bit. So first, 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. This is a great way to start out. I don't want you to be foolish on this. I want you to actually know what's going on. I don't want you to be uninformed. So then he keeps going, and I'm going to skip down to 4. Now there are various... one of my spiritual gifts is not speaking in front of people as far as reading. Now there are various varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but the same God who activates all of them. Now here is the key verse for understanding where these come. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. For, what does it say in your Bible there? Does anybody have it? For the common good. For the common good. Spiritual gifts are given to us, God's love and empowerment for the common good. Now, today I'm going to be speaking more on God's Spirit in and through me for the common good. And I'm going to be focusing more on how we figure out what God wants us as far as our own spiritual gifting, and sort of focusing more on us individually. Tomorrow when we talk together, if you're coming to join us for that lunch, we're going to be shifting a little bit to saying God's Spirit in and through us and dealing with it more corporately. But first of all, we're starting off with me. But that same thing, it's always for the common good. Actually, all the spiritual gifts are for the common good except for one of three types of speaking in tongues. Now, you're probably going, wait a minute, there's three verses of speaking in tongues. But if you'd look, so if you can, turn to let me find it. There we go. To 12:10. And there it says, as part of that, that there are various types of tongues, or various types of speaking in tongues. So there's a variety, and as I've studied Scripture, I've been able to find three. I'm sure there are other forms of speaking in tongues, but I've at least been able to find three. And one of these three isn't for the common good, but every other spiritual gift is for the common good. So if you're trying to figure out what your spiritual gifts are, and they're not for the common good, it might not be a spiritual gift, except for this one. The first type of speaking in tongues, or speaking in a variety of tongues, we see in Acts 2. So what happens in Acts 2 is the Holy Spirit comes and comes down on the people like flames onto their head, and they go out and they start speaking. And this miraculous thing happens that everybody, all these people from all these different places, they all understand what they're saying. Now, it's not that these guys spoke all sorts of different languages, but somehow the Spirit comes and gifts them with the ability to speak, and other people are able to understand. I know of a guy who's experienced this speaking in tongues. He felt called to go to an African nation where they actually have a beach, and I've never actually seen pictures of African beaches. I'm sure there are some. But he went to this one, and he said he felt called to go and stand in the middle of it and to start preaching. He didn't understand the language. He didn't speak the language, but he went there. He said, okay, I'll do this. I feel like an idiot. He started speaking, and it was amazing. He spoke in their common language. And the interesting thing is, they said he sounded like a local. His accent was as if he was a local guy. And over 100 people came to God that day. This kind of speaking in tongues is still around. It's not very common, but it's one of the three. The second form of speaking in tongues, I think, is the one that we're most familiar with. And we see this, and actually I'm behind on my slides here. Let me catch up. Here in 1 Corinthians 14, 2 through 4. And this is the one where it's a prayer language. And this is what most of the times when people are talking about speaking in tongues, this is what they're used to. And here, let's read this. For those who speak in a tongue do not speak to other people but to God, for nobody understands them, since they are speaking mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, those who prophesy speak to others for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Now here you've got that other type of speaking, which is for the common good. And all the spiritual gifts are there to help build up the body. So you're going to see this over and over and over again in these three chapters, that the spiritual gifts are there to build up the body, or to help the body, or to upbuild the body. And why it says it that way, I'm not sure, but it does. But here, this last one, those who speak in tongues build up themselves, but those who prophesy build up the church. So this is the one form of spiritual gifting that isn't for building up others or for the common good. There's one last speaking in tongues, and that one we see more in 12:10 and in other places. So, to another, and this is a list here of all different spiritual gifts, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues. Now here's the key part, and to another interpretation of tongues. There's another type of speaking in tongues which is sort of a prophetic speaking in tongues. And I've actually witnessed this a couple of times, where somebody will speak in tongues and then somebody else will stand up and interpret and say, this is what God's saying. It's not something that's very common, but still it happens. So there are various types of speaking in tongues. All of them are for the common good, except for one of these three. Now there's a couple other things. I'm going to go on sort of a tangent here. In speaking in tongues, often there's this little passage that I find really interesting in here as well. It's 14:14 through 16. And often when I speak in, when I teach about spiritual gifts, there's sort of two reactions I get from people. One, we had no clue about any of this. Or two, people that come from a more Pentecostal background and they've heard some teaching on spiritual gifts, but they don't want to actually think too much about it, and they don't want to actually deal with Scripture and what Scripture teaches on it. They want to go by what it feels like and by the feel of it and the flow of it and feeling God. But I think Paul doesn't necessarily just say, it's not just about feeling. And this is the reason why I think that. So here it says in 1 Corinthians 14:14 through 15, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive. Now remember that the spiritual gifts are all about building us up. And even when he said, when I pray in tongues, maybe I'm not praying for others, but at least it's benefiting me. But here he's saying, wait a minute, if I just pray in the spirit, if I'm just the emotion and my mind isn't active, there's no benefit. So he keeps on going and explains a little bit what we're supposed to do. So what should I do then? I will pray with the spirit, but I will pray with the mind also. I will sing praise with the spirit. So when we worship, we do worship in spirit, but I will also sing praise with my mind also. So I think there's a couple of mysteries that I want to explain because we miss some things with spiritual gifts or dealing with the spirit. It's not just about emotion, but our mind also needs to be active in it. There's another part where people often say, well, the spirit came on to me and I didn't really have much control of it and all this wild stuff happened. It was really cool. I don't think Paul allows for that either. Partially because of this passage, which comes in 1 Corinthians 14:32. And he says, the spirit of the prophet are subject to the prophets. In other words, the prophet might be given a word or a speaking or something, but the prophet's still in control. It's still subject to the spirit of the prophet. The prophet still has to choose how to deal with it. So I think that there's this danger that we sometimes say of, oh, the spirit's going to take me, and I'm not going to have any control of it. Or some of us, a lot of us Mennonites, are afraid that we might get the spirit on us, and who knows, we may end up dancing in church, and whoo, you know what dancing leads to. So we can't do that. But I think here Paul's making it very clear. The Spirit is working through us, but we're still in control. We still get to choose how that works. And with that, I want to jump back and look here a little bit with the flow of the passage. And then we're going to come to my second chart, and we'll sort of center in there. Oh, I'm going to have to do this quickly. So, just starting off with 1 Corinthians 12, it starts off with trying to say, I don't want you to be ignorant. And it talks about various kinds of spirits, various kinds of gifts, but the same spirit, the same source that gives all of them. And then it gets to this part where it talks about, and this is, I'm guessing, where your guys' passage or your theme comes from, that there's one body and we're all many parts. And we each have a part to play. And then at the end of 12, it has this great line where it says, and now let me show you a more excellent way. And it comes to 1 Corinthians 13, and it talks all about love. Now, why is love the center of spiritual gifts? For me, what I've been working on over the last couple of years, oops, let me jump here, is working with the idea of a prism. And this prism, if you know what a prism is, this is the way my youth think a prism should look like. I grew up with a prism that looked more like that. So in my mind, I'm always thinking like that. But a prism is a bit of glass or of crystal that light comes into, and I'm not a scientist, but they tell me light that's not invisible, we can actually see it somehow, but I can't, it comes in and it then is turned visible into a rainbow or a show of color that I can see. So this idea of this prism has light coming in, and because of the prism, it becomes visible into the world. So today I want to use that as an example for us. That this is sort of like spiritual gifts is God's love flowing into us and becoming visible in the world. Spiritual gifts is that, God's love coming into us and being made visible in the world. Like light through a prism becoming visible, God's love through us becomes visible in the world. And because we're all different, how that love becomes visible through you is going to be different than how it comes visible through me. God's love through us is what we call spiritual gifts, the manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. The Spirit allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. God's love through us comes out differently based on who we are, our gifts, our talents, our woundings, our skills, our desires, our personality, and all that makes us us. See, for me, I found that who God has shaped me to be makes sense how my spiritual gifts come out. I am not a musical person. So it would be a real miracle for God to gift me in the way of leading music and worship. And if you've ever heard me trying to lead singing, it's a spiritual gift to be able to appreciate it. But God didn't design me, didn't talent me, didn't gift me, didn't passion me to do that. So then, if God has shaped me this way with these gifts, why would God give me a spiritual gift in this direction? So I say this to say, if you're trying to figure out what your spiritual gifting might come out to look like, and we don't necessarily have control over how God gifts us, but we can look at it and say, okay, these are the things that God has gifted me in. For me, a couple of things. God has made me, I don't know if I want to say stubborn or bold, or I don't necessarily care as much about what people say about me, so I'm willing to say things. And God gave me a very quick way of speaking, so I have a quick tongue. And he's also given me, through some of my experiences and some of my personality, that I feel what other people are feeling. And I have an insight into other people. When I'm not working well and I'm not in God's light, that comes across as I've got boldness, quickness to speak, and I have an insight in, and I'm often very cutting. And that can be something very destructive to another person. But when I am in the light of God and God's love is flowing through me, that comes out as God's gifting, God's spiritual gifting, that I see an insight in somebody and I have the boldness to go and share it with them, and God has given me the ability to speak. The first time I experienced this, I was asked, well, I was walking to the cafeteria at Heston College where I was a student, and I hear God saying to me, Micah, you need to go and talk to this particular girl. Let's call her April. And I heard very clearly, Micah, you've got to go talk with April. And I was like, I don't really know her. Yes, she's part of the same worship team with me, but I don't want to talk with her. I'm not going to talk with her. And I kept hearing, you need to go talk with her. And I said, okay, God, now don't do this. But I bargained with God. If I see April before I get to the cafeteria, and the cafeteria was closer than those back doors are to me, and I was down one straight hallway, and I didn't think that there was any doors coming in. I said, well, if I see April before I get to the cafeteria, I'll talk to her. If I don't, well, this is just in my head. And as soon as I finish saying that in my head, a door opens that I didn't remember was in that hallway, and April steps out and says, hey, Micah! And I said, oh, hi, April. She's like, what's wrong? And I said, well, I think I need to talk with you. She's like, oh, okay, let's talk. I don't really know what I'm supposed to say. Let's go sit under the tree and we'll talk. And I went, and as we were walking out to the tree, God started saying to me, you need to tell her about some of her woundings. I had no idea what they were. But for me, I was bold enough to actually say, okay, look, I think God wants to tell you, and I can't remember exactly how I said it or what I said, but she ended up telling me later that I told her all about how she had been sexually assaulted and abused as a child, and how God wanted to use her on campus, and how God wanted to heal her. And through that time, God was able to start work at healing her. That's how I experienced a spiritual gift. It was who I was shaped to be, and that I was willing to let God's love flow into me, and I was in proximity to someone who needed that love. And that love became visible to that person through me. Your spiritual gifts are, I think, that. When you are in God's light, when you are in God's love, when light is flowing into you, when you are letting God's love come into you and transform who you are, and then you are close to others who are in need. Remember that common good. And that love flows into you and flows out of you. However that flows out of you is spiritual gifting. And sometimes it's something as simple as just being in somebody's presence. Sometimes you're given a miraculous ability, like speaking in tongues, or being able to pray for someone and they're healed. But whatever that is, whatever that God's love flowing out from you, I think that's what Paul's saying spiritual gifting is. What are spiritual gifts? It's when we are in God's love and we're in proximity with those that need it and it comes visible through us. Now, I've given you guys a sheet that I want to do just a little bit with, and I'm going to wrap up and I'm running a little late. I have three questions on there that I want you to think about because I think there's some key things with this. First of all is, who are you? Who has God made you to be? What are your talents, your skills, your woundings, your history, all that makes you you? And I encourage you to spend a little bit of time thinking about that. Then the critical question is that second one. Is there anything that's stopping God's love coming into you? And if so, how do you remove it? And the last question I encourage you to think of is, how then does that love come out of you? How do you engage with others? And I think a key part is proximity. And I'm going to end with this. I think often we protect ourselves from those that are in need. And then it's no wonder we don't see spiritual gifts. because there aren't those people close to us that need God's love. So if we want to see spiritual gifts, we need to be in God's love and let it into us. And we need to be in proximity to those who need God's love. And it will flow through us. I think I'm a little bit over, but thank you very much.